Bushun and in the way Magani dug. Beshiko, Benesia, Que Indigo, Mong in Dudem, Ga Uza Squad, Jimmy Cog and Dunjaba, Ga Misqua, Wako Cog Ninda, Elaine Fleming, Nindishin Akaz. Welcome to History of Leech Lake. My Ojibwe name is One Thunderbird Woman, Beshiko, Benesia, Que. That's the name the universe knows me by. And I'm a member of the Loon Clan, Mong Nindude. I'm also a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and that's part of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Incorporated. The tribe was incorporated under the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. And I live in Gamiskwa Wakokog. That's a place where there were red cedar trees. And of course, there really aren't red cedar trees here anymore. They say there's white cedar trees. And one of the things that logging industry left us was the St. Regis Superfund site, which is south of the railroad tracks in Gamiskwa Wakokog, a place where there were red cedar trees. And a Superfund site is an area of terrible toxins. And over there, about a third of the city in Cass Lake is affected. The water, the reservoirs that run underneath the ground, and also the soil is affected with toxins that can cause cancer. I've been talking about how difficult it is to know who you are, your lineage as an Ojibwe person, as a Leech Laker, or just about from any reservation all over the United States because of the historical trauma that we experienced. Our children being taken from us, our parents dying, records not being kept about births, or sometimes the information on the birth records are inaccurate. So sometimes we don't know our lineage, and it's difficult finding that information out from the Bureau of Indian Affairs too. But my father, Iban, my father who's passed on, Simon Everett Howard, he was from Anigam. And he was born 1912. And on another record, it says he was born in 1913. His mother was Susan Allen. And she was also from Anigam. And she married Albert Desiree Howard, who was from South Dakota. He was a Yankton Sioux enrollee. And they met at Haskell Indian School. But anyway, my grandpa, Albert, he died in 1978 in Anacortes, Washington. He had been married to my grandma, but they had gotten a divorce. They had gotten a divorce, and so my father's mother, Susan Allen Weaver, she was born in Anigam, and during the assimilation era, the Dawes Allotment Act was introduced in 1887. And because of the trust responsibility the federal government had assumed in their relationship with the indigenous Americans, the government had decided that it was in the best interest of the Ojibwe and other indigenous nations to own land in fee. Of course, prior to this act, we held our land in trust and no one owned the land. In Leech Lake, the Ojibwe were allotted 40 acres of sugarbush land and 40 acres of farming land. On my mother's side of the family, 40 acres of land were allotted north of the mission on Big Lake. The other 40 acres were located east of Cass Lake. Many Indigenous Americans were given allotments in this manner, and because they didn't have ways to manage both allotments, they often sold one of their 40-acre lots. According to Indian Country Today, under that allotment legislation, for which there was no legitimate constitutional basis, Indian land holdings dropped from 138 million acres down to 48 million acres, for a loss to Indian nations of some 90 million acres of land. And that's historical trauma. That's one of the elements of historical trauma, loss of land, loss of people, loss of culture. During a period of 47 years under that act, some 60% of all Indian lands at that time are characterized as having passed to the United States, and thereby resulted in tremendous boost to the economic growth of the U.S. economy, but not to us. Designed as part of a divide-and-conquer policy, the Allotment Act divided the total acreage of Indian reservation lands into 40, 80, or 160-acre parcels. A head of family would receive 160 acres on the larger reservations like Pine Ridge. And a single person or orphan over 18 years would receive 80 acres, and persons under the age of 18 would receive 40 acres. Reservation lands left over were designated surplus lands and sold off to non-Indian settlers. So on Leech Lake, Ishkoniganwi, we were allotted 80 acres of land, while in other places like the Yankton Sioux Reservation, the Indigenous Americans were given 160 acres of land to farm. And I bring that up because, like, when my grandmother, Susan Allen Weaver Howard, when she married my grandpa, who she met in Haskell boarding school, they moved to South Dakota to the Yankton Reservation, and they were farming there. And she had written a letter home to the Indian agent, and we have a copy of that letter. And she talks about the land there that they're farming, and that they're going to, his parents are going to try to get some more land so that they can have a larger farm to take care of the whole family, so they can all have a piece of the land there. And so she was interested in selling her allotment in the Onigam area, and so that they could buy some lumber, because of course in the Dakotas, you know, there's not a lot of trees, and she wanted to be able to help build up the farm that they were living on. But after my grandfather Albert and she divorced, she too remarried. Grandma Susan married James Coffey on November 5th, 1924, in Beltrami County, and moved to Cass Lake. Whereas when she divorced my grandpa, and he moved away to the state of Washington. And my grandma Susan and James Coffey, they had a son named James Jr., who was born in 1926 and died October 25th, 1933. Grandma Susan, she died October 21st, 1927, when she was only 36 years old. She died of pneumonia. She's buried over in the Pine Grove Cemetery in Cass Lake. And you know, I've always wondered where she was buried, and so I went through the Cass Lake City office, and I asked about her being buried in that graveyard and where was it located. And they did their best to help me find her grave, but it's not marked in any way now. But her son, the James Coffey Jr., who died. His grave is out there, and it has a little old headstone on it, and it kind of looks like a little lamb, and it's just weather-beaten because it was a long time ago that he died, 1933. And I went out there just last week, I think it was, and I looked for her grave, and it's gone. And they say that's what you do, you know, when people die, you let them go because they're going to a better place. But I'm just that kind of person. I like to know where people are buried, and I like to go and talk to them and visit them out there sometimes. Miigwech, bisandawiig. Miigwech, meet you.